With the world today so busy and noisy, and all of the hectic world that seems to go on, sometimes it's best just to be still, to be silent, to calm down and know that He is God. It's amazing what you can hear when you stop and listen, isn't it? Some people hear silence. Some people hear the clock ticking in the back. Some people hear the projectors and the fan running. It's amazing when it's really quiet what all the noise that continues on. And there's sometimes that we need to sit back and say, okay, Lord, I need you to teach me to pray. Maybe I've been praying all wrong, which I don't know whether there's a right way or a wrong way, but I think there had to be a way that was very important, because the disciples had to stop Jesus and said, would you teach us to pray? Now, it's funny because they were all Jews and they probably had recited and memorized several prayers. And so it's funny that after they've memorized and recited all of these Jewish prayers, that they would still go to Jesus and say, can you teach us to pray? And it's not like they had never heard a prayer before. I think what they were really saying was to Him, Lord, teach us to pray like you do. Because you seem to grasp a hold of heaven. You seem to get a hold of the throne of God, and things change when you pray. So if you will, we're in part two of Teach Us to Pray. And I'd like for you to read along with me as we read our main verse of 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. And let's read it. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The NIV says to pray continually. The New Living Translation says never stop praying. And the King James Version says pray without ceasing. It's a constant flow. If you were to look at that and say, all right, if I rejoice and I pray and I thank the Lord in every situation, it just seems to make a circle. And it continually flows through the Christ follower's life that they rejoice, they pray, and they give thanks. And the more you give thanks, the more you rejoice. And the more you rejoice, the more you pray. And the more you pray, the more you give thanks. And it just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. And what a nice circle to be involved in. To rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks. Last week we began this series and we talked about how, if we're going to learn to pray, we first of all have to present our hearts to God. That's our mind, our emotions, and our will. We have to present our heart to Him. And we have to say, Lord, here's my heart, and I want to give that to you today. And when we give the Lord our heart, then He says this, all right, you've given me your heart, now I need to search it. And the last week we talked about all of these different things of asking God to search our heart. And when we allow Him to search our heart, He reveals to us sin, He reveals to us selfishness, and He reveals to us stress. But then the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. When we present our hearts to God, we say, Lord, search my heart. Make sure there's no sin, no selfishness, no stress. And then we begin by setting a monitor on our heart. In other words, we're going to keep check. We're going to keep watch. We're going to keep an eye on our mouth and on our heart. Make sure that only things come out of it that are encouraging, that are uplifting, that are beneficial, that are helpful. Lord, today, as I give you my heart, I want you to search it. Make sure there's no sin, there's no selfishness, there's no stress in my life. Help me to get rid of all of that. And now I want to set a monitor on my mouth and on my heart. I want to make sure today I only say things that are going to encourage and uplift people. And then we ask God to simply help us keep His purpose and His goals in view. As I said last week, when it comes down to it, it's all about serving Jesus. It's all about pleasing Jesus. It's all about obeying Jesus. It's just simply trusting and living for Jesus. Do you know we all have a kingdom? You've got a kingdom. You've got your little area, your kingdom, your surrounding, and you like being king of that kingdom, don't you? I do. I have certain areas that I say, okay, this is where I am, and this is my domain. Maybe it's your workplace. Maybe it's your home. Maybe it's a vehicle. Maybe it's a, I don't know, it could be a whole lot of different things. But this is my kingdom. And don't mess with it. I mean, I've got it all like I like it. Don't stir up things. Don't put things in the wrong place. And you have the same thing. You have a kingdom that is your, this is my area, this is my space, this is my, just don't mess with it. Now, it's mine. And it's strange, though, that when we read, and when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them him to pray, he said, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. Not your kingdom come, and your will be done, but, Lord, here I am, here's my heart. Here's my emotions, here's my will. Search my heart, Lord, and help me make sure there's no sin, there's no selfishness, there's no stress in my life. Take it away. Help me to say today only what is going to encourage and uplift people. Let no unwholesome talk come out of my mouth. Try that for a day. That's harder than you think sometimes because it's so simple to look for the negative, isn't it? Right when everything's going on, we go, yep, right there. And everything else could be going great, and everything else could be going fine, and everything running smooth, and you'll find that one thing that's wrong. That one thing that you go, that's not where it's supposed to be. That's not happening like it's supposed to. So we have to say, Lord, help me to watch. Keep my mouth and my heart where it should be. Remember, your heart does not stay where you put it. It stays where you keep it. You have to keep your heart where it needs to be. And then, Lord, here's my purpose, here's my plan. Will you get rid of all of that? Because I want your kingdom to come and for your will to be done above anything else. And so after we present our heart to God, if you have your hand out, we're going to start filling in some blanks. After you present your heart to God, the next thing you need to do is present your day to God. Present your day to God. What if I were to come in next Sunday? No, what if I were even to announce it this Sunday and saying that next Sunday I have $86,400 that I'm going to give away? How many of you think would be here back? Would you be back? If I have $86,400 I'm going to give away next Sunday? Oh, yeah. You know what? There probably wouldn't be an empty seat. Word would get out. Hey, next Sunday, Willis is giving away $86,400. Hey, you got to be there. Get a piece of that. Come on. He doesn't do that every Sunday. $86,400. Well, you know that Willis doesn't have $86,400 to give away, don't you? So let me take it down. What if I said, I have $1,440 I'm going to give away next Sunday? Still pretty good, isn't it? Wouldn't you like a piece of that? Even a couple dollars. Hey, bring it on. Before we divide, I need to count and see what $1,440 is divided by the number we have here, and we'll just do it evenly. Would you like that? But I know you're sitting there thinking, you don't have $1,440. You're not going to give that away, are you? No, probably not. So let me just take it on. What if I said, I have $24 I'm going to give away next week? Well, we all wouldn't get a dollar, I don't think. I think we'd be over that. So you're going to have to get some change. $86,400, $1,440, $24. There's 86,400 seconds in a day. There's 1,440 minutes in a day. And there's 24 hours. in a day. And do you know every day you get that many to use? Now tomorrow you won't be able to say, hey, I only used 85,000 today. Can I keep that 1,400? Can I keep that 1,400 and add it to tomorrow? And that's not going to happen, is it? Because every day you're given a certain amount of time. And what are you going to do with that time? Are you going to waste it? Are you going to throw it away? Are you going to put it in your pocket and think that, well, I'll just hang on to it till tomorrow or next week, or there's something coming up, I want to hang on to it a little bit, and I'll just store that away? You can't do it. You have 86,400 seconds to use each and every single day. And wouldn't it be great if you just said, I'm going to give those 86,400 seconds to God. I'm going to give Him 1,440 minutes every single day. They're His. I'm going to present them back to Him. I'm going to give Him 24 hours a day. You need to present your day to God. First of all, by that, you need to present the day's details. You need to present the day's details. Psalms 37 and verse 5 says this: commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him and He will help you. Commit everything that you do to the Lord. Simply trust Him and He will help you. Along with presenting our day to the Lord and His detail, the details of the day, do you know that God's really concerned and He really wants to hear about everything that's going on in your life? I read it again last night. Most people think that God is only concerned about the big things. God, there's some tests coming up, and I need to pray about those. God, I've got a surgery coming up in a couple weeks, and that needs bathed in prayer. Well, Lord, there's some bills coming up at the end of this month. I don't know how they're going to be met. You know, God's even concerned about the small things in your life. The things that you think are insignificant, God really cares about those. And He wants to be involved in every detail, every 86,400 seconds of that day. He wants to be a part of it. He doesn't want you to carve out and say, okay, I've got just a few minutes I'm going to give you today, Lord. The rest of the day is just jam-packed full. God says, why don't you invite me and give me the details of the whole day? And let me be a part of that. Commit everything to me, He says. Trust me and I'll help you through everything that you're going through. When we commit our days to the Lord and the details of our day, we need to remember this. We need to choose the fear of the Lord. We need to choose the fear of the Lord when we present our details to the Lord. I don't know if you've ever heard, well, yeah, I know you've heard of Six Flags Over Georgia. Anybody ever been to Six Flags? Rode all them roller coasters and all that? Yeah. They have a Six Flags Over St. Louis. I think it's called Six Flags Over Mid-America. And we used to go there in the summer because it was really close to our home. We would get a season pass and we would go quite a bit. Before we ever got the season pass, I can remember one time when growing up, a bunch of the friends of mine wanted to go to Six Flags one day, and so I went to my parents and I said, hey, everybody's going to Six Flags tomorrow. Is it okay if I go? And they said, no, we'd rather that you stay home today and not go to Six Flags tomorrow. And I just kept begging and begging. And you ever done that when you were growing up? Come on, Dad, please, really? Everybody's going. I mean, I would be the only one in this whole world that wasn't going to Six Flags tomorrow. You stretch it out a lot, you know. Try to well up a few tears. If I don't go, I won't be able to be with my friends and my friend. So you just go into all that. And I kept begging. And Dad, come on, can I go in? And finally he said, just go. And I got to go to Six Flags. You know what that day was like, that next day? It was miserable. It was terrible. You know why? Because deep down inside, I knew that I had done something that my dad really didn't want me to do. He finally just got fed up with it and said, just go. But I knew deep down inside he didn't want me to go. The same thing is true with the Lord. We need to remember to choose the fear of the Lord. And I'm not saying as a Christ follower, you're to be scared, kind of God. There's not that. The word fear simply means I'm going to have such a reverence for Him that it has a great impact on the way I live my life each and every single day. I say it this way. I don't want to do anything that would disappoint my God. I don't want to do anything that would make Him go, just go, Willis, and do it. Or don't do it. Just don't. I want to have a fear. I want to have a reverence for Him where I respect Him. I obey Him. I submit to His discipline. And I worship Him in awe. I just stand in awe of Him. And anything that He says do or don't do, He's a whole lot better and knows a whole lot better than I do. I want to have a fear for Him, meaning a respect for Him. And what happens when I fear the Lord? Proverbs 1:7 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." You want to be wise? Start having a reverence, respect, obedience, and submitting to the Lord. Every single day, Lord, here's the details of my day. What do you think? Am I using them for Your honor and for Your glory? I'm presenting my day to You, and here's the details of my day. I want to make sure that I don't do anything that disrespects You. Not only do we choose the fear of the Lord when we present our day's details, but we also need to commit our works to the Lord. We need to commit our works to the Lord. Proverbs 16 and verse 3 says this, "Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established." The word works, where it says commit your works, really means for you just to roll upon the Lord. In other words, commit your works or roll upon your works to the Lord. Lord, here's what I'm doing. They're a little too heavy for me. I've got a lot going on. I'm just going to roll them over onto Your back because I know You're stronger and that You can handle everything that I'm going through. Psalms 31, verse 14 and 15. "But my trust is in You, O Lord. You are my God. I am always in Your care." The idea is that we completely give something over to God in dependence upon Him. When we commit our works to the Lord, we offer everything we do right back into His care. The Old Testament is written originally in the Hebrew. And when you look at the Hebrew wording of Proverbs 16 and verse 3, where we commit our works to the Lord and our thoughts or our plans are established, the Hebrew arrangement of those words reveals that if we commit our works to the Lord, we have to do those that in order that He will establish our plans. There has to be something that we do so that He will do something. If I don't commit my works to the Lord, He is not going to establish my plan. He's going to let us live out our own plan. It's almost to the effect of, Lord, here's what I want to do. Well, I don't know that You need to do that. But Lord, this is what I really want to do. This is what I think is right. No, I really don't think you want to do that. I know what's good for You and I know what's best for You. But Lord, come on. And finally He says, just do it. If You don't want me to lay out plans for you, don't commit your works to me. Do your own thing. But what a blessing it is when we first give Him our plans, our works. Lord, here it is. Here's my day. Here's the details of my day. Help me to not do anything that disappoints You, but to always want to obey You and respect You and submit to You. And I know, Lord, that when I do that and I commit all my day to You, You in turn are going to establish my plans and lay out my plans for me. I present my day to the Lord and I present the details. I have to indicate my dependence upon God. I'm going to indicate my dependence upon God. You've heard this verse. I know you can almost probably recite it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and He will show you the right way." You've got to commit and indicate, Lord, I'm going to put all my dependence upon you. Trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. I've given you my heart. Now I want to trust you with all of it. I want you to know what's going on in my life every single day. I'm committing my works to you. I'm committing my ways to you that you can establish me. I love what David did in Psalms 131. It's just a prayer that David was praying about himself to the Lord. And he says this in verse 1 through 3. Lord, I have given up my pride and turned away from my arrogance. I am not concerned with great matters or with subjects too difficult for me. Instead, I am content and at peace. As a child lies quietly in its mother's arms, so my heart is quiet within me. Be still and know that He is God. I'm giving you everything, Lord. I just want you to know today, I am fully, totally dependent upon you for my day. And then you need to request specific direction. Request specific direction. I've given you my heart. You've got rid of the sin, the selfishness, the stress in my life. I'm putting a monitor on my mouth and on my heart. I don't want to say anything, Lord, that would be disrespectful. Only that would encourage someone. And Lord, here's my heart. Now here's my day. Here's my day, Lord. Let me give you the details of my day. And now I want to make sure that I don't do anything that disrespects you. And Lord, I want you to know I'm fully dependent upon you. And so I'm asking for specific direction today. What do you have for me today, Lord? What are you going to put out in front of me? Help me not to miss what is very important in my life today. There's a book in the Old Testament called Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah, the book was written somewhere around 701, 6 to 680 B.C. And Isaiah was sent to prophesy to the kingdom of Judah. He was a prophet, and we see Isaiah's life here when we read Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, it tells us about how Isaiah saw the Lord. Remember, I saw the Lord and He was lifted up and He was holy. Well, Isaiah looks and he goes, man, I'm doomed. When I see that, there's no hope for me. And every word out of my mouth is unclean. And I live among a people who every word they say is sinful. But then an angel flew down. Remember the story? And he touched his lips with a hot coal and he was made clean. And then the Lord said to him, who will go and who's going to tell these people for me? And Isaiah said this, here am I, send me. He prophesies, Isaiah does, of the virgin birth. It says that he'll be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We'll learn more about that, won't we, in the next coming season in Christmas. In Isaiah 53, he even prophesied and gave us details of the crucifixion. He said in Isaiah 53, 5 and 6, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We are all like sheep. We have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he prophesied over 400 years before Jesus was to die on the cross. And then Isaiah chapter 30, he's on his way to prophesy to the kingdom of Judah. Let me read you just a few verses out of Isaiah chapter 30. Woe to this obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine. See, they never committed their days to the Lord. They just did their own thing. And the Lord sometimes said, just go, do your own thing. To those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. Remember, Egypt is a type of the world. All these Jews were going down to Pharaoh. They were finding out what he was saying. What's best, Pharaoh? What do you think I should do? I want your protection. I want your refuge. And Isaiah's having to go and prophesy to these people. He says a little further down, these are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. Sound like today, doesn't it? In verse 15, he says, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. He said, shh, be still and know that I am God. And Isaiah has to say, you'd have nothing to do with it. You didn't want to have anything to do with the repentance and rest and quietness and trust and strength. And then he says in verse 18, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. Wow, what a God we serve. First he said, you obstinate children, going down to Egypt and getting your refuge and getting your strength and getting your recommendations from Pharaoh, from the world. You're rebellious, you're deceitful, you're unwilling to listen to me. You won't repent, you won't rest, you won't be quiet, you won't trust. You don't come for your strength from me. You don't want to have anything to do with it. And then he says, but I'm gracious to you. I long to show you compassion. And then he says in verse 21, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Through all of the stuff that the Jews decided to do down in Judah, finally Isaiah has to prophesy to them, you're going to hear this voice. You might want to turn to the right, you might want to turn to the left, but this voice is going to say, this is the way. Walk in it. Go this direction. Go this direction. Go this way. Turn around and go that way. I don't know what. Just listen to the voice of Jesus. Give him your details. Ask for specific direction. Matthew Henry in his commentary said, even now they would have more comfort as well as holiness if they were more constant in their prayers. Psalms 25, verses 4 through 5. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the right road for me to follow. And lead me by your truth and teach me. For you are the God who saves me. And look, all day long I put my trust in you. I put my hope in you. Every single day. Every 86,400 seconds, all day long, Lord, I put my hope in you. I present my day to the Lord. I give him the details. I indicate my dependence upon him. I request specific direction in my prayer time. And then I choose to obey God's explicit instructions. I choose to obey God's explicit, or can I say the word clear, God's clear instructions. Matthew's account of Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, 7 through 8. Listen to this. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open. There's just one condition in this ask, and I put that in your notes there. You've got ASK. Just put to ask, to seek, and to knock. To ask, to seek, and to knock. There's just some conditions to go along with this. Some people read this and go, hey, anything I ask, God's going to do. Anything that I seek, I'm going to find. And any door that I knock on is going to open. Conditions. Remember, just as we saw in our, we commit our ways to the Lord and He leads our paths, there has to be something that we do and understand before. One condition of the promise is that we have to ask knowing for God's good intentions. That it's good to the Lord for what we ask and what we seek and what we knock. And the second condition is our request must be consistent with the will of God. God will always give us good things, never bad. When we ask, when we seek, when we knock, we make sure it's according to His will and that it's good in His estimation. Is it good? Is God, is it going to be good for what God has for me? The biblical instruction concerning prayer is that we pray for the good things that we truly need according to the will of God in the authority of Jesus Christ, persistently, unselfishly, and in faith. If you were with us on Wednesday night, you saw the pattern that I gave you for prayer and how our prayers don't have to follow that exactly every time, but it's always a good pattern to follow when we are praying. Same thing is true. That's what we've talked about over the last two Sundays. I present my heart to God. I say, Lord, search my heart. Help there not to be any sin, any selfishness, any stress in my life. And if there is, help me to get it out of my heart. Help me, Lord, to not keep those things in my life. And Lord, I'm going to set a monitor on my mouth today. Help me to keep my mouth shut when it needs to be shut. And when it does open, help me to say only things that are going to edify and encourage and lift people up. Help me not just to point out the bad things, but to encourage and point out the good things that God is doing. And Lord, help me to keep Your purpose in mind. Help me to keep Your goals in mind. And so, Lord, here's my heart. But secondly, Lord, here's my day. Let me give You the details of my day, Lord. I just want You to know what's going on today. I want to make sure that it all aligns with I'm respecting You. I'm doing what You want me to do. That I'm not going to hurt You. I want to have a right fear of You. Help me to indicate my dependence upon You today, Lord. Lord, I just want You to know, no matter what comes my way, I'm just going to depend upon You to lead me and guide me, direct me. And so, Lord, I need to request today specific direction. What do You have for me today? What are the directions and the instructions that You have for me? Lord, and as I close this prayer out, I've got some things that I want to ask for, that I'm seeking for, some places that I'd like to knock and have the door opened. Lord, is this something that is going to be good? Because You're only going to give me good. So help me to place this before You, before I ask and I seek and I knock. Is it good for me? And Lord, is it consistent with Your will? Because Your kingdom comes today and Your will be done in my life. And you know what happens when we follow that pattern of prayer? Here's my heart. Clean it up, Lord. Watch my mouth today. Help me to watch it. Help me, Lord, to know Your purpose and Your goals for my life. And Lord, here's my day. Here's the details of it. Here's what's going to happen. I'm indicating my dependence upon You, and I'm going to request specific direction. I need to hear that voice that directs me to the left or to the right or whatever it is that You have for my life. And you know what that will have? You will have, if you do that, you will have effective prayer. You will have an effective prayer life. Will you bow your heads? When it all comes down to it, It's all about serving Jesus. It's all about pleasing Jesus. It's all about obeying Jesus. And it's all about trusting and living my life every day for His honor and glory. So I'm going to ask you, where are you at? Are you still doing your own thing? Are you still begging and pleading for things that you want and the way that you want things to happen? My day at Six Flags was terrible. I didn't enjoy any part of that day. And maybe we need to be careful not to enjoy the days that we don't give back to the Lord. I want to make sure that I'm giving Him everything. So I'm going to give you 86,400 seconds today and tomorrow and the next day. And I want to pray that you use them wisely. Use them for the Lord. Present every single one of them back to Him and ask Him to direct you. Lord, today we simply place our lives into Your care. We simply want to know what You have for us and that Your will be done in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't do what we want, but we would simply do what You want. And so I pray, Lord, God, forgive me for going my own way and doing my own thing. Forgive me of my sins, Lord, and today I want to turn my back on sin and I want to turn to You. So I'm asking You to take my day, be the Lord of my day, and change me. I surrender everything to You. Be my Lord, be my Savior, be my God. I give You my life today. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.